you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Alexa, who is Adam Ferrara?
Adam Ferrara is an American actor and comedian known for playing the roles of Chief Needles Nelson on Rescue Me, Sergeant Frank Fiorelli opposite Edie Falco on Nurse Jackie. He was a co-host on the U.S. version of Top Gear. He has had three Comedy Central specials and his new album is called It's Scary in Here. Adam's new podcast is a big hit and available everywhere.
Sounds like it could be funny.
Sounds to me like 30 minutes you'll never get back.
Hi, guys. Thank you for being here. Whether you're checking us out for the first time or coming back again, either way, we are grateful to share this time with you.
That's nice.
Yes. And we want to welcome everyone from our Talk to Me Tuesday family. That's our conversation we have every week, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Go to my website, click the link, and join us. And our super fan shout out are for Dennis and Linda.
He's a friend of ours.
And they sent us a lovely email I want to read to you guys. Dear Adam, we met at the Improv in Tempe. You were so funny and nice after the show. I was the one telling you about my 54 Caddy. Yeah, I remember this guy. You know what's really cool about a 54 Caddy?
What?
The gas tank is you open up the taillight opens up, and that's how you get access to the gas tank.
Hey, you know what? I remember seeing that when I went on set with you the very first time you did your very first Top Gear episode.
Yeah, we were up in Indio Kern at the airport. It was an old rusted 54 Caddy. I said, honey, come here. You want to see something cool?
No. And this is what you said to me.
What?
You said, how can we get this?
Well, I said, after we get this, how can we get it in the car? Yeah. How can we get this home? Yeah. I want to thank you for your podcast. My wife and I look forward to them every week, and we listen after we put our 2-year-old Danielle to bed. Phil makes us laugh when you get him all riled up. You can tell that you all love each other. My wife and I are both from Long Island, but now live in Arizona, and your podcast reminds us of home. Keep up the good work. Dennis and Linda from Scottsdale.
Hello, Dennis and Linda from Long Island,
yes.
And now Scottsdale.
There you go.
I'm glad somebody's having a good time with you messing with me, Adam.
That's right, tough guy.
Sizzle chest.
Yeah. That, I know, three of us know where that's from. Honey, you know where that's from?
No.
That.
I thought it was like from your family.
Nope.
Could be.
That'd be accurate too, I think.
Yeah, nope. That is from the Jerky Boys. And our guest this week in the ADD interview is Johnny Brennan, the guy that created the Jerky Boys.
which is a phenomenon I'm not familiar with.
That's why we're here, so fill you in. The Jerky Boys was great. It was a, they came out in 93. I remember, for those of you who don't know, the Jerky Boys is a series of prank phone calls that were hysterical.
Right.
It went viral before there was viral because there was no viral. This was an underground thing. And I remember first hearing the Jerky Boys on Howard Stern. When did you hear them, Mark?
I remember a buddy of mine showed up at my place and was like, you have to hear this tape. And it was a bootleg tape. And I was like, what is this? Are these buddies of yours?
Right.
And it was like, no. And it just took, and you, the second you heard it, you didn't stop laughing.
Yeah.
It was just the funniest thing. And just hearing him say, all right, that tough guy.
Yeah.
I mean, it immediately takes me back to that first moment I heard it. And it was just, you're like, this is genius.
Yeah.
This is just brilliant.
It went viral before viral was a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
There was no viral. There was no viral. You didn't have to wear a mask. You could congregate freely. It was a whole different time.
It was a simpler time.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, fruitcake. See you later.
What did he say? All right, fruitcake.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I found a bunch of drops. I'm having a good time.
All right, fruitcake. See you later.
So, yeah. Yeah, he was a lot of fun. He was a good guy, too. He was, and I think he's got ADD because like recognizes like. You'll hear this interview.
You're all over the place.
Yeah, he really didn't even need me for the interview. He just kept going.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun talking to him. So, you guys listen to this, and we'll see you on the other side.
Who are you? Who are you first? Introduce yourself to me.
Frank Rizzo, jackass.
I wouldn't insult you back because I'm a matured man.
You're listening to the Adam Ferrara Podcast.
Good God, this is 30 minutes you'll never get back.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Oh, I am so excited to get back out on the road. I got some stand-up dates for you guys. If you are in Colorado Springs, Colorado, I will be at the 3E's Comedy Club February 12th and 13th. February 25th through the 27th, I will be at the Helium in Philadelphia. And March 4th through the 6th, I will be at the Helium in St. Louis. I will put a link for tickets right here in the show notes. Okay, who are we kidding? Alex is going to put a link for tickets right here in the show notes. If you can make any of these gigs, please come up afterwards to say hello. And from 6 feet away, I'm going to thank you for all the love and support you've shown me and this podcast. All right, let's listen to Johnny.
Pay attention when I'm talking to you, boy.
ADHD, it's not just for kids.
Nice boy, but doesn't listen to a word you say.
Welcome to the ADD interview. It's not that you're not interesting, it's just that I can't focus. And my guest this week is...
Oh, look, a bird!
My guest this week makes me laugh. You've heard his voice on The Family Guy, and he is the creator of The Jerky Boys. Yes! All that madness is here with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, help me welcome Johnny Brennan. How are you, pal?
All right. I'm okay. I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Sure. It's nice of you to be here. And you're here because you have a new album out.
Yes. First brand new Jerky Boys record. First record about, it's got 23 years, 24 years. Like a traditional, actual, yeah, brand spanking new Jerky Boys record.
You're like Axl Rose after Guns N' Roses. You take your time.
Yeah, you know, I did. And I caught a lot of flack for it over the years. I remember Seth MacFarlane even, giving me the business. Johnny, man, please, you got to get back to the studio. they use my albums in the writer's room at Family Guy. You know, it's been a long time coming. And the response so far, man, knock on wood, has been terrific. Because, you know, before I could always say, well, I got one, two, I may have a couple left over for three. But then that was it. Then yeah, there was nothing left. There was everything. That was it. There was no more. So then, you know, four or five. And then I had a few that were long that I didn't think that anybody would ever really want to listen to, because they were like 7 minutes, 10 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
So people would always ask me, do you have anything in the can? I would always say no. And then I thought, wait a minute, I do have these long. And people said, I don't care if they're long, man. I want that. So I put the Jerky tapes together with, I had like 9 calls. And they were all very long, but I listened back to them and I said, wow, they're good all the way through. They're entertaining. So I put together the Jerky tapes, and you can find that on the official Johnny Brennan YouTube channel. So it's out there. And it's just a great, great, great album. But you're right. It's been a long time coming.
The first one came out in 93. Yes.
Officially, it was on the streets way before that.
Right.
New York Times mentioned it was the largest bootleg in history. It was actually a bootleg, you could say. Mm-hmm. It was a bunch of stuff that I had done for my brothers. We go up to the country. We race cars. We go to the tracks on the weekend.
Preach, brother, preach.
You play these things for fun.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Well, you said, did it start as fun, Johnny? Did it start and then?
Yes. Yes, I had no intention. You know, I was hanging off buildings. I was doing construction. I was scaffold worker. You name it, I was doing it. And I'm the oldest of 5 children. And, you know, I was always, as a little kid, I was always getting myself into situations. I was a ball buster.
Right.
You know, I was a classic, really a real ball buster when I was a kid. And so it just carried into my, you know, life growing up, me doing these characters. And Sal Rosenberg, when I do that, that's my mom. I've been saying it for decades. It's funny, I've been saying it for decades, but you know, it's good because lots of people don't know. Right. As many times as I've said it, people don't know. Frank Rizzo is my father. You know, Kissel, old man Kissel, it was done my uncle Vinny, who was a World War II veteran, who I actually dedicated Jerky Boys 5 to his memory. He passed away right around Jerky Boys 5.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all the characters. It's just craziness, but it's the absurdity, I think, that makes people feel good.
The absurdity of the characters are great. And my mother, like, I love the fact that Sal is based on your mother. My mother's Harvey Fierstein. That's just the way she sounds.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I love Harvey. I've always loved Harvey Fierstein. His voice was classic. Everything about it, you know, but that's funny. If your mother sounded like Harvey Fierstein.
Yeah. You took the characters from your life, and I'm guessing you exaggerated them, the aggressiveness you exaggerated.
Well,
right?
Here's the funny thing. Sal Rosenberg is, you know, that's my mom. And only, I swear to you, only slightly exaggerated. When I do Mort Goldman in Family Guy,
right,
that's the other side of my mom. Mort Goldman is always ready to throw down. So Mort Goldman's always amped up and he's ready to go, you know. Hello. Yes. Hi, Peter. What's wrong with you? He's like, you know, you guys got to help me burn down the pharmacy. So when I do Mort, that's like my mother's excited and what, you know, and when she was in the mood to give you a crack in the head.
Right.
But the other side of my mom is Sal Rosenberg, where it's like, and should I bring all my shoes and my glasses? So I had a magazine was doing a feature story on me just a couple of years back. And I said to the writer, I said, listen, if you want, you're going to make another trip up. I said, if you want, I'll have my mom here and you could meet her yourself. And if you want to ask her a few questions. And so I did that. And I introduce him, and as soon as I introduce, hi, how are you? And my mom, you know, she's got that very nice, you know, personality about her when she's nice. She passed away in, 2016. Mm. But when she was nice, she had that wonderful way. And hi, how are you? And as soon as she greeted him, he goes, he puts his hands over his face.
Yeah, yeah.
And he starts literally, like, he goes, I'm so sorry. Because he's hearing my mom, like you're saying, Harvey Fierstein.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as he heard her, he's like, oh my God, it's Sal.
Yeah.
So, and just imagine how funny it is, right? To have all of these characters that were somehow in my life, like the big old badass Bob, the cattle rustler, and all these characters, my gay character. I was doing the gay character in 1967 when I was just a little kid. Right. I was 7 years old, six or seven years old. So I'd walk around the house and I'd be doing my gay character. And what my mother would be like, what the hell are you doing? What's wrong with you? And my, you know, my dad would sometimes, my father and his brothers, among other things, he ran Abercrombie and Fitch as an electrician. But among other things, they ran a pub in New York called Brennan's Pub.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes people needed a little hand. They try to sober up or whatever.
Sure.
So my father bring them up a little country place we bought up here in Salisbury Mills. My mom and dad bought back in 65 or something like that. And this one guy he brought up was very, very effeminate. He spoke like a woman. He didn't sound like a. Here I'm 7 years old, and I'm listening to him converse with my mom in the kitchen. She's washing dishes, and they're talking back and forth. And I was like, "Wow!" I just remember being a kid saying, "That's so cool. That's so different." And that is what I always had the ability to do as a little child. I would always watch people, watch them speak, and I would mimic. I grew up in Astoria for a few years, and I was all Spanish, Greek,
heavy
population.
Greek. Yeah, there's diners on every corner.
As a child, I'm just wow, man, listening to this, and that's where to this day I have Greek characters, I have Irish characters, I have, you know, so I was able to kind of soak that in. So very, very cool, very interesting, because I knew it was as a little child, most kids would definitely be traumatized. You know, if your mother wakes you up in the morning. And, you know, most mothers, how do they, honey, come on, it's time for school. You know, I'm going to put breakfast on. What would you like? My experience was completely different. You know, my mom would open the door, crack the door open. And she's like, what the fuck are you doing? You're still in the bed. Get out of the fucking beds. It's time for school. And like, what do you want? I'll make some eggs and we're going to have some toast. And then before she could even finish the sentence, she's like, oh, Jesus Christ, my fucking back. Oh. I swear to God, I'll never forget being a kid. I'm already half traumatized because I'm half awake getting woken up, but saying to myself, this is funny shit. This
yes!
is funny stuff.
Johnny, Johnny, they had no idea how funny they were. And
right.
I think that we processed the same. Let me ask you, did you ever have a feeling like you were watching a play with these people? You didn't feel part of them. You felt like you were observing them?
Yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess I was lucky enough in to have this gift to be not scared, but to absorb this and recognize it as golden.
Yeah.
And I did. I was very young and I said, this is funny. This is funny stuff. And same thing with my dad.
Yeah.
That's where, you know, Frank Rizzo character. Why does everybody love Frank Rizzo? Everyone from Philadelphia to Saskatchewan, Australia, they love Frank Rizzo.
Mm-hmm.
And when I do that, I'm doing my dad. Yeah, I tell people a funny story. My baby brother, my youngest brother, you know, at the time he was probably like 6 or 7 or whatever. They got home with the groceries. My brother, my baby brother grabs, a box of donuts or whatever out of the bag. And he runs into the living room. And my father's going, hey, get over here, muffin ass. Where the hell do you think you're going? And so again, like my brother's under me. We would look at each other and did you hear that?
Yes.
Did you hear what he just said? You know, and it's memories like that. Or driving my father back to the city from upstate New York, or back to the city for work on Monday morning. And he's in the back of the car and he's, you know, always, we always had, you know, a few beers. He's got a few beers in the car on the way back, having a couple of beers with my uncle Vinny, who was Kissel. So they're both in the back of the car having a couple of beers. And out of the blue, I don't remember why, but I asked him, I says, my wife was sitting in the co-pilot seat. She wasn't my wife then. She was only a girlfriend. And this is a long time ago. And I said to my father, I says, hey, and it's pitch black. We're going, it's nighttime. And all I could hear is his voice. I said, hey, Dad, how's Aunt Greta doing? He goes, Johnny, son, what the fuck would you ask me a question like that for? He goes, how the fuck do I know how that sizzle chest bastard is doing? That's his own sister. That's how he answers me. I looked at Allison in the co-pilot seat. I'm like, did you just hear that?
Yeah, that wasn't just me, right?
Right. And that's how I grew up. I grew up listening to shit like that. And it was just incredible. And it's just like you said, it's so surreal.
Yeah.
That you're it's like you're in like a Fellini movie or a play or you're like you're checking with other people to make sure that and that's why I was I grew up in that, so obviously I was part of it, and then, you know, I was able to go on and do the same thing and just in situations just spit out stuff that I don't even know where it comes from, but it's definitely comes from my upbringing. And And you know, I wouldn't trade it for the world, you know, and that's what makes everybody different.
Yeah, that's, I had the same upbringing and I had the same appreciation for what I was witnessing, Johnny, because I really didn't really get the full impact until like my family was out of the house. I remember once I was at Little League practice and my father had to pick me up in a truck, right? So he had a plumbing truck at the time. So he pulled up with a plumbing truck and I had to go. Two honks on a horn and I left. I had to leave, you know, and the coach goes, no, I got to talk to you. That's two honks. You can run with me if you want, but I got to get to that truck before the third honk goes off. He's running with me. He's running with me to the truck. We get to the truck. He go, and my father looks at me. He's like, you know, I almost had to hit this horn again. And he was scary. I got in the back of the truck. My father, the coach thought he was doing the right thing, you know, because my father hit me on the back of the head as I got in the back of the truck. And the coach says, you know, you shouldn't hit the kid like that. My father took a long drag off his lucky Johnny, looked at the coach and went, you want to be next?
Oh.
The guy turned around, walked away, never came to the truck again.
Right. Yeah. And that's, you know what people don't understand? That's old school.
Yeah.
That's old school. And that, you know, that's how I was raised. My father was very strict. My mother was just as strict. Back in those days, you didn't mess around, man. You messed around. There's a funny meme going around, and it's got Rocky Balboa, and he's laying back against the ropes of some, and he's like, and he's beat to shit. His eyes are all closed, and his mouth is all swollen. And then there's one above with a mother like pointing her finger at the child, and it says, "Kids today getting reprimanded." And then the bottom picture of Rocky Balboa, all smashed up.
Yeah.
It says, you know, back in the 1960s, I talked back to my mom. and he's all lumped up. His eyes are closed. So, you know, that's a great meme because it's the way it was. Yeah. You know, you didn't wise off. You did what you were told. Your dad's telling you, I don't want to have to beep this horn three times.
Yeah.
And funny enough, my temper's that short myself today with my daughter. I have two daughters, 25 and 17. I'm like a taxi. I'm like a taxi. Dad, can you pick me up? If I pick you up, you better be, as soon as I'm outside that house, I'm not sitting out there like your freaking limousine.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, some of that carries over, you know, you gotta have respect. You gotta do things right. And you gotta have good social skills.
Yeah. You also gotta have, and I think we're the same as I have to learn that patience, Johnny. Cause I just, I go from zero to homicide in 3 seconds.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's not uncommon that, you know, it's I've learned to cool down a little bit, you know, in certain areas. I remember I used to be pretty bad in the car you know, just really like, I can't believe these effing people. Like the light, you know, you're sitting there, you just waited to get to the light and you got another red light. You just waited all this time. Now you got another red light. The light turns green. It ain't going to get any fucking greener, you know, it turns green and they're sitting there. And then, you know, so I'd be like, like on the fucking horn. I'm like, what the fuck already? And but I've learned now. It's like, you know, you because in a way you're right. Mm. What are you doing? You're sitting in your car. The light turns green. Go get the hell out of the way. So, but I've learned to just now I take a few deep breaths and it works. It actually does work. Yeah. And because, you know, too, you get a little older, you get a little more patient with people, but it's still there. It's still there. Like you just can't believe sometimes what you see.
Yeah. I just like the way you took the aggression and you channeled it into a character. I got a clip here I want to play. This is one of my favorites. This was the car salesman clip. You ever listen to this?
Oh, geez. That's a good one.
Yeah. All right.
Hello?
Yeah. Where's Paul?
Who's calling?
I'm calling about the job. Salesperson.
Hold on. Hello?
Yeah, Paul.
Speaking.
What do you need me to sell, babe?
Excuse me?
What do you need me to sell? I'm calling about the salesperson job.
What do I need you to sell?
Yeah. Sell cars? What's the story here?
You sell cars?
You got it.
Where do you sell them?
I sell them up in Middletown, upstate New York. I had a little problem over there, though. That's something I don't want to talk about.
Middletown?
Yeah.
Okay. What's your name?
Paul. Paul Rizzo.
Paul what?
Paul Rizzo.
Rizzo?
Yeah.
Where do you live?
I live upstate.
Okay. That's a long haul from,
Yeah, well, you know, for some people, maybe.
Okay.
Let's talk about selling cars, Paul.
Okay.
I could sell whatever you need sold, I'll sell it. You got, bring in a tank, I'll sell the fucking thing.
Yeah, how far away do you live, though?
About 60 miles.
60 miles?
Yeah, don't worry about it. I'm there early every day.
I'm worried about mileage on a car.
Yeah, don't worry, I'll use my own car, Paul.
Okay.
I'll drive it silly. Silly.
Now, why do you want to drive 60 miles to go to work?
Hey. That's my business. You want to sell cars through me or what? See, I had problems up there in Middletown. I got to get the hell out of that area. I grabbed some guy. He's, you know, like, he don't know if he wants to buy. I push his face right in the fucking hood. You know, tell you, you buy this fucking car, break your fucking head. I had problems over there, Paul.
Well, it sounds like if you did that, you'd have problems anywhere.
You know, it's hard times. These fuckers, they got to buy. I need dough like anyone. So what do you think? We got something going here or what?
I don't know. I don't run that kind of operation.
You see, hey, we're off to a bad start. You know?
But I don't run that kind of operation.
We'll see. Well, I could tone it down a bit, you know? Maybe choke a few people here and that's about it. Hey, it works. You think it's funny? It works. I sell.
Yeah, but I don't run that kind of operation.
I'm silly. I'm telling you, I'm silly.
Yeah, I don't run that kind of operation. In fact, the salesmen don't even quote prices here.
Let me try somewhere else then, okay?
All righty.
All right. See you later, Nitz.
Okay.
Right.
Johnny, the fact that they engage with you is that...
I know. That's you know, that's what it is. You know, people ask me over all these years, they say, Johnny, how do you not freaking laugh?
Yeah.
How do you not laugh? How do you not giggle? How do you not chuckle? And I tell them all the time, I say, because to me, it's not about funny. To me, that I'm looking for a freaking job. Mm-hmm. I need a job. By the way, that's a brain fart that happened there at the very beginning.
Right.
Because his name was Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like laying on my head. And when he came out quick and asked me, what's your name? I just said Paul Rizzo. Mm. So we made a joke after all those years. We made a joke saying, yeah, that's Frank's long lost cousin, Paul Rizzo. But So the reason I say that is because to me, it's happening in real time.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Rizzo. I'm looking for a car salesman job. I can tell you some things that I've done. Bring in a tank, bring in a fucking tank and I'll sell it. And you know, one time this guy, you know, he doesn't want to, if he's don't know if he's going to buy, I take his face. I shove it right in the fucking hood. You buy this. So I'm explaining to him things that I've experienced. So, and as far as I'm concerned, this is what I did.
Yeah.
So it's real. So is, and that's, I just stay in the character. And you know, after the calls are over, a few times you might hear me on the records. As soon as I hang up the phone, you might hear me laugh or chuckle, but.
Sure. Well, what I like about that, you have the aggressive one that gets the people to engage with you. And then I found this other one, the lawn equipment one that you went the total other way and got them to engage with you. Let me play you this one.
Yes. Yes.
Hello?
Hello?
I'm calling about the ad you got in the paper about a garden and lawn equipment.
Yes. I love what kind you got, and where could they be seen?
Well, I have lawn chairs.
That's all?
No. I have other lawn chairs.
Well, he says you got a log splitter, a lawnmower, a chainsaw.
Oh, my God. Yes, I do.
Yeah?
Yes.
Where could they be seen?
Oh, in any store, pretty much. Lots of stores sell those types of articles.
I understand that, but you're selling them.
Yes, that's right. That's correct.
Yeah.
Yes. But you asked me where could you see things like this.
I said, where could I see your stuff?
Oh, pardon me. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Yes. Hello.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where could I see them?
Sir, that's what I said. You could probably see them pretty much anywhere. Do you see what I'm saying?
No, you're selling them. I want to see what you have that you're selling.
Oh, that's okay. Well, then that puts a whole different paint job on things.
Yeah.
I didn't know what you were getting at. You didn't have to be...
Well, why did you put the ad in the paper if you don't know what I'm getting at?
Well, you didn't have to be so hurtful with me, so angry.
I'm just trying to get to find out where I can see this.
Your neighbor or your friends or maybe relatives would have these things for you to see them. You see? Do you see what I mean?
I see what you mean, but I'm trying to see what you have that you're trying to sell.
Okay. Well, I have a lawnmowers, and I have weed whacker. It's called a whacker for weeds.
Yeah.
And it looks like a James Bond tool or something. And you swing it all around fancy, crazy, and you go ring with the saw going off and like that.
Yeah?
Yes.
Where do you have these upstate?
I have them in my attic.
Where's that?
In the top of my house by the roof.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
That's just a really, really, it's a special call because, you know, it's, again, playing with the character. One of my favorite things is when he goes, when he says to me, and this is about as mad as he gets, he goes, well, why'd you put the ear in the paper if you don't know what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
And I'm telling him that he's belligerent or when he's getting angry and he's, but yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
I like that one. Do you ever have one go bad on you?
In what sense?
I don't know. Just so you took a left turn. You didn't mean to get there. Maybe you hurt somebody's feelings. Maybe it didn't turn out the way you wanted it to.
No, very, 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 very lucky. Very, very, you know, but it's intentional because I don't. If you ever listen back on all the Jerky Boys and all the work and all the tracks,
mm-hmm.
there's never ever been a time I went in to hurt someone,
yeah,
or to hurt their feelings or to belittle them. Never. It was always about my character and what situation is he going to get into with this particular person. And like I said, obviously, if you wanted to take Frank Rizzo, he's brash, he's abrasive, he's like, you know, I'll wrap your fucking head in with a ratchet. And how does he follow it up? Frank follows it up by he just told him he's going to wrap his fucking head in with a ratchet.
Mm-hmm.
Then he says, you don't got nobody there to work like me. He's trying to sell himself.
Right.
And then he's I'm the best. And he's like, you know, wait a minute. I don't think you should call here and talk to me like that, guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one minute I'm telling him, wrap his fucking head in with the ratchet. Next minute I'm the best. And I'm trying to assure him that you'll see I'm the best. You ain't got nobody there. So people always say over the years, they say that Frank Rizzo, man, I love that guy. He's in your face, but there's something lovable about Frank Rizzo. And that's what I tell you is because they're real characters. These aren't fake characters. That's why so many people love my characters on Family Guy. All the other characters are drawn cartoons and people come in to voice them.
Right.
When I'm doing Mort Goldman, I'm giving my mother's persona, her personality of this, the personality of somebody that lived, somebody that was real,
mm-hmm.
going into this little cartoon character. And people go nuts for Mort Goldman. Absolutely nuts. They love him.
When did you get the Family Guy gig?
I actually read for Peter, the main character.
Mm-hmm.
They sent me a script up to my house, right. Seth MacFarlane. And I actually read for Peter and something, I guess, went down where the studio and all the heads of the studio, they were like, oh, Jesus, no, are you familiar with the Jerky Boys? And Seth is like, I grew up on the Jerky Boys, you know? Mm-hmm. So I guess that they just, at the time, they didn't know if it was a good idea to have, you know, Frank Rizzo, I'll wrap your fucking head in with a ratchet, associated with the program on Fox.
Right.
Lo and behold, look at the Jerky Boys, you know, Family Guy sound way farther than the Jerky Boys, you know, as far as being risque and coming out with all kinds of crazy stuff. So but it's funny how everything comes full circle. So I got the gig. So I read for Peter before there was a show. And then Seth was persistent. He wanted me. So Seth flew to New York and they asked me if I would put Sol Rosenberg over into Family Guy. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't think that was a good idea because, you know, I was for many years that the Jerky Boys have been around. And if I get rid of Sol Rosenberg, he's gone.
Right.
You know, it'll be Fox television. So I kept Sol Rosenberg in place with the Jerky Boys. And I said, let's created another character. And like I said, both sides of my mom, Sol is over here. Mort Goldman is over here, ready to go a little more energy. And Mort Goldman was born. And the rest is history as far as that goes.
Was there a moment when the Jerky Boys was released? Was there a moment when you realized, oh my God, this is big?
Yeah, I mean, it happened in stages, because, you know, Howard Stern, you know, playing it on terrestrial radio way mm-hmm. back when. People hearing it then by the millions because Howard had such a huge audience. And Howard asking his listeners, he says, if anybody knows who this Frank Rizzo guy is, please give a shout out, call into the studio. I got to find out who this is. He said, this is the funniest thing I ever heard in my life. So Stern doing that, everyone telling me, Johnny, turn on the radio quick. Howard's playing your stuff and he's talking about you. And I don't think I ever got to hear it until everybody else knew about it. Mm-hmm. Then the record company started to come looking because they knew this was something extraordinary. They knew that this was not like anything before. So the record company started coming forward and that's, you know, then I signed with, Atlantic Records and, you know, and then you start to it's officially released. And I believe it was 93, the official release mm-hmm. of this bootleg. So the bootleg, we released Jerky Boys 1. And then you start to get the phone calls. Then you start to see, wow, man, this is incredible. Then, you know, the record label guy, you know, calls you at your house. He said, listen, Johnny, I just want to give you some amazing news. Your record just went gold. So you have a gold record. And I was like, that's awesome. You want to do everything you can to make that better. And I was always about making it 1,000%. So that's what and then Jerky Boys 2, they said to me, how are you going to beat Jerky Boys 1? How can that be possible? So I put Jerky Boys 2 together and it went up the charts. I think it sold 700,000 units in a week and it hit number one in Billboard magazine. And funny enough, I hit number one and right behind me in the number two slot was Radiohead. And they had called and asked me if they could borrow my skit, Pablo Honey. Mm-hmm. They wanted to use it to name their debut album in America.
That's funny.
Yes. So Radiohead chased me up the charts. And then Billboard magazine actually sent me a beautiful plaque for my wall. Yeah. And right there on the plaque is that page. Jerky Boys number one, Radiohead number two with Pablo Honey. So that's when you start to say, this is incredible. This is like, and then on the heels of that, now you have Walt Disney Pictures, Touchtone, Caravan, all the major movie companies out there, Warner Brothers. I saw them all. I saw Sony, and Tony Danza was actually the first person to see, because, you know, he's from Brooklyn, I believe. Mm-hmm. Tony's like, you know, he's on the game. He was always just on the game. So Tony Danza, like, you know, he's a fellow New Yorkers, and Tony's like, he's like, this is huge. This is, and he wanted to make a movie. So Tony flies, first class, flies me out to Los Angeles. And, you know, by the end of the day, though, Tony took me to his studio, which was Sony. So he takes me, there's a big conference room, all these people sitting around the table, and they're all looking at Tony like, I don't know, what do we, you know, what do we do? And Tony's like, selling millions of records. This is a no-brainer, or he could figure something out. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget Tony hitting the table. He was angry. We went back to the hotel, and by the end of the day, there was meetings with every major studio. Because that's how it is out in L.A. Once they hear the Jerky Boys that you're in town, you got meetings with everybody. It wasn't long after we left Tony that Emilio Estevez with Disney. And I met with Emilio, and then by the end of the day, I met with a bunch of other people, but I really took a liking to Emilio. So at the end of the day, Tony Danza and Emilio Estevez both produced, they both got producing credits for the Jerky Boys motion picture. So that's when you say, one minute, in construction, hanging off buildings 50 stories above the earth, and the next minute, in Los Angeles, taking meetings with the top motion picture companies on the planet, and starring in my own motion picture for Walt Disney and Touchstone. And that's when you just sit back and go, man, you talk about an American dream.
Sure.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
The new album is out now. It's called Balloon Animals, and you can get it anywhere. Is that right, Johnny?
Yes. All it says on the cover is the Jerky Boys. You know, some, I think maybe on the inside they'll have Balloon Animals.
I can't thank you enough, my friend, for being with me. We're going to go out on Pablo, honey. Best to you and your family, my friend. Stay safe.
That's great. Thank you so much.
You got
it. Hello?
Yeah?
Pablo, honey?
Yeah?
Please, honey, come down to Florida.
Huh?
Come to Florida, honey. We miss you.
Yeah, who is this?
Pablo, honey? You washing your ass, Pablo?
Who is this?
Keep yourself clean, honey.
Hello?
Pablo?
Yeah?
Please come to Florida.
Who the hell is this?
Oh, you bastard, you.
Hello?
Pablo?
Yeah?
You bastard. Pablo?
The ADD interview was brought to you by CruiseIntoWellness.com. CruiseIntoWellness.com for all your CBD needs. Now, these are tough times, brothers and sisters. Everyone is worried about paying the bills.
These fuckers, they gotta buy. I need dough like anyone.
And it could cause you a little anxiety. So why don't you do what I do? Take one of the gummies they have at CruiseIntoWellness.com. They also have edibles, tinctures, pain creams, bath products, pet products, and you know, 20% off with the coupon code Adam. 20% off anything they have at CruiseIntoWellness.com. Go, feel better.
What's up there, Bottlenose? This is Frank Rizzo, and that was 30 minutes I'll never get back. Ah, Christ.
I had fun with him.
Yeah, you guys are so much alike, Adam.
You think?
Yeah, I think. You both, like, have these bigger-than-life characters. Mm-hmm. You know, he talks on the phone and uses them, you on stage. I mean, what is that? I think it's like this East Coast over the, like, confidence in spades kind of thing. It's
I don't think it's you know what I think it is? If you're behaving like your parents, that's what gives you confidence.
Well, it's like beyond, I don't care. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to go out there and just, you don't care.
Yeah.
Is it that it? That
kind I think of when you're in a confidence, when you I think you take on the confidence of what you see. Like, what, my father had a whole bunch of confidence. My mom didn't care.
Yeah.
I have a joke in my act about my mom making a cop cry. It really happened. She yelled at a cop.
I mean, that is pretty balls on.
I'll tell you this. Loved hearing him tell the stories about his parents. I'm pissed. I love my parents, but they're so bland. I haven't been able to create any characters out of them. And I'm telling you, man, after the Thanksgiving show we did with your mother, I see everything that you get. I see where all that comes from, and it's freaking genius.
Yeah. My mother, thank you for recognizing that, Stern.
Yeah. I think Adam has at least, God, you could do probably a 45-minute show on your mom.
Yeah.
All the bits you have about your mom.
You met all of them. when you came, Uncle Frank.
I did.
You met all of them. You met my Uncle Frank, my lunatic Uncle Frank, and my Uncle Louie, and all those guys. They're all, that's why I identified with them, because they're out of their minds, my friend.
So you owe them a check.
Don't tell them that. They'll come after me.
Oh, yeah. Edit that out. Edit that out, Adam.
They will come after me.
Hey, Adam, about that money.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah, when I met your family in New York, I was like, holy shit, this is my family in Philadelphia. This is the same exact thing. You know? But
yeah, it's that East Coast thing. My family is quiet. They're not like you.
I know. That's the first thing. The first time I had dinner at Alex's house with her family, I remember thinking to myself, God, don't you people drink? I mean,
and yell? Where's the yelling? And there's no yelling?
Nobody owes anybody money? What?
There's no.
You're telling me mom loves all her children the same? What's wrong with you freaks?
Oh my God. So let me get this straight. No one wants an alibi. Is that what you're saying?
One of the other things I loved about it was he didn't start out doing this to like make a career, cuz it's crazy. You know, it's just, it's like, oh, I see this and it's going to get me to there. It looked like he just did it to do it and have fun. Like, hey, guys, let's make a tape. Those funny voices I do. Let's prank some people. Let's just do this for grins, man.
Yeah.
And I love that. And I love that it actually, the universe clicked and it worked out that he's launched into this huge career and he's been so successful because he's obviously so talented. But I love the origins of it. It was just doing it for grins and laughs, man. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
I like the fact that they mess with other people. Adam, you know, can you do that? Can you pick other? You just do me. I'm the only one. Can you get some other customers? Can you get some other customers?
It does. I got the one I want, Phil. You're my favorite.
I don't know. Go get more. Go get more. I'm busy.
I know. Mark, I found this one. I found this one I did with Phil. Phil, you remember your countertops?
The Uber Tuba?
The Uber Tuba countertops. Oh, he was so
happy. God. Is this the...
this is the documentary they wanted you to be in. He's getting countertops put into his house, and some director approached him to be in a documentary on dwarf tossing. We both know that you don't do that to another human being. You don't want to be in this documentary, right? But it just so happened in the news, there was a politician named Workman, and Workman wanted to lift the ban on dwarf tossing.
Wait, okay, so they asked you to be in a documentary, and it was in the news?
Yeah. And I happened to find the articles, and I realized all I have to do.
So
you couldn't help yourself.
All I have to do, all I had to do was take the articles, match the font. I could put anything in this article I want. Listen to this.
Hi, pal. And congratulations on your new Uber Tuba kitchen countertops. I'm sure you are the talk of the neighborhood over there on Wisteria Lane. Listen, I think you made the right decision telling this director you don't want to be part of this dwarf-tossing documentary. You don't want your name associated with something like that. Plus, it's in the news. Did you see? There's some Republican in Florida wants to lift the ban on dwarf-tossing. I'll send you the article to read it. All right, call me later.
What the fuck? Isn't it a little coincidental that my name just happens to appear in that article? Or did this director, after I said I don't want to have anything to do with this, turn around and give my name and say he can't be reached for comment? Then why even put my name? I don't know. Whatever. I don't think it matters. All right, call me back.
Look, I'm sending the articles as I find them. What's going on now?
Now there's an article with one of the dwarves saying that Phil Tagliaferri was our only supporter.
What?
That's what he said.
What did he say?
He said back then we wanted to do that. I was making a lot of money, and nobody. We had ticket signs and people, you know, protesting. And Phil, one of our only supporters was the tweeting of Phil Tagliaferri. Kulu, big ups to Phil Tagliaferri. Big ups. The fuck? It says right there that I was a supporter. I mean, he couldn't even say our only supporter. Are you fucking kidding me? I did not see the humor in this at all.
How do you not see the humor in this?
My favorite part about listening to these bits is the laughter that comes flows out of Adam.
Right,
it's so great. I've never seen you happy or laughing harder than that, man. It's just phenomenal.
Oh, he makes me laugh so much. I just when you get wound up like that, I agree. Yeah. I agree with Dennis and Linda. It's hysterical.
Yeah.
Okay, calm down.
Bad publicity. No.
Don't call anybody and don't talk to anybody, all right?
Who am I going to talk to?
As this story gets bigger, you'd be surprised who's going to come out of the woodwork.
If you find anything, I'll send it to me. I want to know everything that's out there.
Okay.
And we're off.
Yeah. Oh, man. By the way, I'm opening a door. By all means, keep messing with me.
Yeah. Any more articles?
Yeah, I sent you a couple.
What do you mean you sent me a couple? What does that mean?
What does that mean? I found two of them.
Found two more with my name?
Yeah.
Fuck. Well, where's this now?
I don't know. I just sent them to you. Check your email.
Oh, what the fuck? Why are they even calling me in this shit? Oh, this one mentions my name twice. Some boors disagree. It is our right. Some boors disagree. This is what my name is linked to. It is our right to do what we please. Sadie DeRose, head of the coalition of Tiny Tallahassean. Paul Bloomberg on the phone. Everybody is making decisions for us. Phil Tagg was the only one who let us do what we want. Phil Tagg is a Canadian and leader of the Doris Ponsing movement. What the fuck? This is Doris Ponsing movement? How does it say Phil Tagg? I was the name of the guy.
Dude, you're their leader.
I don't understand why there's so many different articles and how is it that my name is in every one of them and says something different though?
Yeah, I've been thinking about that. So what do we know? We know that this Republican wants to bring back dwarf tossing. That's why it's in the news. Now the bigger that story gets and the longer it stays out there, the more relevance this documentary has. The documentary you told the director you didn't want to be in. But if your name is connected to this story in positive, negative, erroneous ways, the director is creating a controversial character for his film.
Well, I got nothing to do with it.
I know you had nothing to do with it. He's also making you feel pissed off and helpless. Then he's going to let you stew for a little bit and reapproach you about being in his film. And he's going to tell you, here's an opportunity for you to set the record straight and tell your side of the story. You are being squeezed, my friend.
Oh my god.
You sound so authentic, Adam. You're like, I've been thinking this over. All right. Here's the angles that's coming at. And Phil, God love you. I'd be right with you. I'd be like, Adam, tell me what I should do. What's going on here? You have him completely at your mercy, Adam. It's brilliant.
Right, because you don't understand. He and I get into these conversations sometimes when things come up in our careers, and sure. I get his advice. So, sure. And the past nine were authentic. Why would I not think number 10 was authentic? That's exactly. What he does. That's how he does it. It's like the seal.
You are.
Same thing.
It's like the seal.
It's like the seals. Who makes that up? Who does that? Him.
Just don't listen to him.
I have no choice. I have no choice.
I'm full of love for you, but you're an idiot.
How am I an idiot? Explain that to me.
Okay. Exhibit A.
This director's fault. It's gotta be. There's another one. Dwarf Crossing was the brainchild of comedian Phil Tagg. What the fuck?
He's come up with it.
Oh, my God. And started in the late 80s, where it took root in comedy clubs and created income for little people. Most of any were appreciative, however. There was some dissent. I did it for the money, but he, Phil Tagg, always seemed to look down on me. What the fuck?
Who did you look down on?
I did it for the money, but he, Phil Tagg, in parentheses, always seemed to look down on me, said dwarf tossing participant Horatio Gomez. Who the fuck is Horatio Gomez?
Who's Horatio Gomez?
Well, how the fuck do I know?
Go to your room, Phil.
Go to your room, Phil.
He's in there.
Now, what are you thinking at this point, Phil?
I was distraught, and let me tell you something about let me tell you something. This was like in the embryonic stages of messing with Phil. You understand? It wasn't like if you did that now, I would be completely hip to it, Alex. Just so you know.
Sure, you
this
would.
This was a long. No, this was a long. You're right. I probably wouldn't. This was a long time ago.
When you see your name in print, it's pretty powerful.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, the fact that they did approach me for this and there was a big thing on CNN, that's what made it authentic.
Yeah.
That's how he reels me in. That's how he does it. And then he devotes time. He plays the long con. He's a long con artist.
Yeah, he does.
He plays the long con.
This was the whole day. This is how it ended up.
Did you get the last one I sent you?
Looking at it right now. Many little people consider Phil Tagg a hero. However, Tiny Archibald has told us he is a monster and has Ubatuba granite countertop. Oh, what the fuck?
That's funny.
Only for you?
Dun, dun, dun.
Only is it for you from you?
He always seemed to look down on me. I'm an alcoholic. Let me deal with all this stressful situation.
My God.
I'm an alcoholic. Wow. Oh, God, was that funny.
I loved, Adam, how you set him up by saying, don't talk to anybody. Don't read anything. Yeah. I'll send it to you. Controlling the flow of information.
Yeah,
he's got to rely on you. And Phil, you're like, all right, what else you got? Did you find anything else out there? You're not looking. You're just pacing, waiting for Bernard Shaw to knock on your door and be like, are these allegations true?
Yeah, I had no reason whatsoever to think that it wasn't authentic. No reason.
God.
Even if someone had said to me, is this Adam messing with you? I would have thought about it and went, no, not this time.
Legit.
No, this is real. Time. This is real because I did get approached for this, and there is a movement. It's on CNN, and now I'm part of it.
This is when Tom was living with you.
Yeah, Tom Ryan.
Yeah, there was another comic living with Phil at the time, Tom Ryan, and it all blows up at that moment, and then Phil explains our relationship to Tom.
This is the kind of shit he does. I'm going to bed now.
Why?
You need to hit your knees and ask God for forgiveness. This was bad. This was a bad one.
Why was this a bad one?
Because I was freaking out.
This one wasn't bad. You don't have to go anywhere.
Listen to yourself. Listen to what you're saying.
Why?
You didn't have to go anywhere. You didn't have to drive. This one was fine.
Yeah.
You endanger my life.
How do I endanger your life?
I'm reading it, going, holy shit, I'm driving at it, like, swerve out of the way. Suppose I get hit by a Mack truck.
What?
Supposing I get hit by a Mack truck. That made me laugh so hard, Phil.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you got some enjoyment out of it.
Come on, Phil, you don't think this bit was funny?
Not back then! It's funny now because we have it for material, but not back then. It was a wreck. Oh, my God.
Brad Williams is a friend of the show, hysterical comic. He's a little person, and he had an opinion.
Hey, Adam, it's Brad Williams. Man, Phil really stepped in it. Your boy is like the godfather of dwarf tossing, and I like that it's finally coming to light. I like that people are finally going to be aware of it. I've already called a couple chapter leaders. I hope you enjoyed his fucking countertops. I hope they were worth it. Give me a call back when you can. Love to talk to you more about it. All right, bye.
How great is he?
I
sent him the bit just to get his take on it, and he goes, that's hysterical. So I want to thank Brad for participating in our lunacy. And Phil, I love you.
I love you too, and thank you, Brad, for that. That was awesome.
And I want to thank Johnny Brennan for being on the show. The new Jerky Boys album is available everywhere. And honey, if they want to get a hold of us, where do they go?
TheAdamFerrara@gmail.com.
And if you have time to leave us a review, please do. It helps us with our friend,
Mr. Algorithm.
And if you get a chance to tell a friend about the show, we would greatly appreciate it. The show is growing, and it's all because of you guys. Please remember, life is hard. Take it easy on yourself. The pod has ended. Go in peace.
Go back and look again. It's hysterical.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today. The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.